We're praying for you. You give to us whatever God's laid on your heart.
All right, good deal. Is this working?
Yeah, it is. I can hear my echo.
Awesome. Well, good morning. So, Sunday morning. Wow. Praise the Lord. So we have the theme of young people today. And Brother Jordan, you taught Sunday school. So it looks like you're one of the young guys now. So we'll be seeing you in teen class next week, huh? So we're going to be in Luke chapter 18 this morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 18. But before I read anything, I want to share like a story. So there's this pastor of a small church, of a small town of about maybe 300, 350 people. And the pastor is just kind of wanting to skip church. You know, he doesn't have a good reason. He's just kind of given into the flesh. And so what he does is he calls his assistant and he says, hey, I'm not feeling well. I'm not going to be there. Can you run all three services? And so the assistant is like, sure, like what's the worst that can happen? Anyways, Sunday rolls around. The pastor wakes up and he looks at his clock and it's 10 in the morning. So services are starting to start and he gets in his car and he drives about 45 minutes out of town and goes to a golf course. He didn't want anyone from the town to see him, so he goes to this golf course. And as by the time he gets there, you know, he puts the ball in the tee. He drives the ball and he looks. And it's about 11 o'clock, so he hits the ball and he drives about 250 yards. And right before the ball lands, a gust of wind pushes the ball 200 yards, and it rolls in and it lands a hole in one. The pastor couldn't believe it. He says, "This is amazing. This is the best thing the best game of golf I've ever played." And so he gets in the golf cart. Drives down to the hole, picks up the ball, same thing happens. On hole number two, on hole number three, hole number four holes in one. He couldn't believe it. He's excited. And finally, an angel in heaven looks at God and he says, God, why do you allow this to happen to a pastor who's skipping church? And God looks at the angel and he says, who's he going to be able to tell? So thank you guys for being here. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach. I appreciate it every time I get the opportunity to preach. But we're going to be in Luke chapter 18. And we're going to be reading verses 18 through 27. And the title of my message today is A Satisfying Wealth. We're talking about the rich young ruler. It's not a new topic for most of us here, but there's a lot of things that I think we can observe within this conversation that Jesus has with this rich young ruler that we can apply to our life and to obtain the satisfying wealth. So I'm going to read verses 18 through 27 in Luke chapter 18, and then I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started in here. But the Bible says in verse number 18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. God, I pray that you would just get me out of the way. Lord, that you would use me to minister to somebody here this morning. Lord, we just thank you for the beautiful day it is to come to your house. Lord, we just pray that you'll get all the glory and honor that's said here. Lord, and just we look forward to tonight as well as Mason's going to be bringing the message. Lord, just be with him. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you've done. In Christ's name, amen. So I'm going to be transparent. Pastor asked me about 3.5 weeks to a month ago if I would preach on a Sunday morning. And so the first thing I said was, what am I going to preach on? You know, that's what you kind of have to have a message to preach if you're preaching. And so I had this message I was excited to preach. It was different kinds of faith. And I was certain that that was going to be the message that I would be bringing this morning. And so Friday night, I started working on my little handout and my PowerPoint that I tried to do. And as I'm working on the handout, I felt the Lord just say, you're not going to be preaching this. So I said, oh boy. And so then instead of freaking out on Friday night, I just went to bed. But the Lord woke me up on Saturday at like 6 in the morning, and he gave me a message to preach. So now I'm a little nervous because, you know, you hear that story of God changing the message, and now I'm having my own story of that. So, but you hear of it happening the day of. So I'm glad the Lord gave me a day. Anyways, we're going to jump into this. Sorry. There's 5 things that happen in this conversation, 5 points in this conversation that we can draw satisfying wealth. And the first thing, as we saw in verse 18, is that the young ruler's void. The young ruler was wanting more. What's interesting about Christ's earthly ministry is he was used to people kind of running up to him or shouting to get out of the way. And typically the people who did that were the sick. There were the lepers that cried out to God saying, "Lord, heal us." It was the deaf and it was the blind. But what's interesting here is this young rich ruler, in the earthly perspective, didn't really need anything. He had youth, he had money, he had fame. He could have everything he wanted, but yet we see that he ran to Jesus and asked him a question. The rich young ruler was dissatisfied with his life. And we can do this in the context. I understand here it's talking about a lost man coming to Jesus for an eternal life, but as believers, we can have that same problem. We can be so fixated on our riches or on our wealth or on our opportunities that we get dissatisfied with the Lord. And we have to be content with what God has given us. What would prompt a young, rich, famous person to even come to Jesus besides the simple fact that he was really just dissatisfied? And this morning, if you want to inherit this satisfying wealth, you have to come to the realization that there's something more than what this world has to offer. There's something more than your youth. There's something more than your fame. There's something more than the money that we can receive. Now, we praise the Lord for the blessing. I praise the Lord for my youth. I praise the Lord for all the blessings he's given us, but there's something more important than those things. And it's important if you want to inherit that satisfying wealth that we realize that. True satisfaction can only come from the Lord, Jesus Christ. You're not going to find it in anything else. And what's interesting about this satisfaction, filling the void, is if you look at your sin, the devil is going to lie to you and say, "Hey, if you commit this sin, you're going to feel better." Or, "Hey, if you get the sin, it's going to be the easy way out." But we heard last week that the sin that so easily besets us, when we commit those sins, we often feel left discouraged. We often feel defeated or desolate. It doesn't give you the satisfaction that it says it's going to do. So when we see ourselves wanting more, looking for more in life, my question to you is, how is your fellowship with God? We're subconsciously going to be looking for things that satisfy us as human beings. And Americans as well, we're blessed beyond measure, and we look for things that satisfy us. And if you're not going to find it in God, you're going to just subconsciously have sin in your life, and you're going to start trying to find it in sin. And the blessing of the Lord is we can turn back to God at any time. But on the other side, if maybe you're a lost man, you're never going to find satisfaction if you never receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can be a man of status. You can have an amazing job. You could be an Eagles fan. Your team won the Super Bowl. But that's not a long-term satisfaction. It's not going to satisfy you no matter what. So the first thing we saw was this young ruler had a void. He realized that there was more life than the world had to offer. The second thing we see, also in verse 18, the second part of it, is we see the young ruler's question. He said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now what's interesting is in the day of social media and having young influencers, you kind of get the idea that these young people who have all this fame and all this money are pretty satisfied because they can be who they want behind the camera. So we understand how the story ends for this rich young ruler, and it doesn't end well, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt here. At least he had the wisdom to acknowledge that what he had wasn't enough. That's more than a lot of young people will admit nowadays. And it's just, he had a lot going for him. But what's interesting is the verse where it says, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit life?" The three things that stand out are the youth, the money, and the power. But notice, he didn't have any security in his youth. He began to question, what happens after I die? There will come a time where the Lord allows me to. I will grow old, and I will die. And he says, "Good master, what must I do to inherit that eternal life?" He didn't have the security in his youth. You can't stay young forever. And my challenge for the young people, myself included, is don't let time waste. We're young and we have a lot of energy and we can just do a lot of things, but we shouldn't just waste it. We should have hobbies, but we should really be all out for the Lord. It's a blessing as a young person to serve the Lord, and by the grace of God, you remain faithful through your life, but don't wait. Maybe you're not saved and you're young. I don't know who's in the room that's not saved, but you say, "I'll do it later." The Bible says that we can't boast of tomorrow. We know not what a day may bring forth. You never know how long you have. And so if you're going to push it off and "I'll do it later, I'll go to church when I'm older," go all in now. It's the best thing you can do is go all in when you're young. Yeah. But we see he was concerned about his youth. He said, "What's going to happen after I die?" But what's also interesting is that his riches weren't guaranteed. He was worried about an eternal inheritance. He had all the money he needed. He didn't need any inheritance from anyone else. He was set for life, but he said, how do I inherit this eternal life? He knew his riches couldn't sustain him. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6. We're just going to read two verses there, and you can hold your place in Luke because we're going right back. Matthew 6. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number, we're going to read 19 through 21. The word of God says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we're focused on temporal things, we're focused on fun, that's where your heart's going to be. If you want to be like David and a man after God's own heart, you need to set your heart on spiritual things, spiritual treasures. That may mean taking up a job that might pay less, more opportunity to serve God, or it might be answering the call to the ministry, or it might be going on the mission trip, not knowing how it's all going to work, but it's following the Lord, and it's putting your faith in God. Or how about tithing? It could be your tithe. It could be extra missions giving, whatever it is. But where are you going to spend your treasures? We don't have a guarantee that there will be money in the bank tomorrow. We don't even think about it, but there's no guarantee of that. And this rich young ruler knew that. He said, there's an inheritance. There's more that I need. But what's also interesting that I noticed is his authority was only temporary. Notice how he calls Jesus Christ good master. A man of power and authority is willing to admit that there is a master above him. He knew that his authority wasn't guaranteed. I'm sure as a young rich ruler, there were probably people out there who weren't biggest fans of him. Maybe they had a hit on him, I don't know. But he definitely had opposition, and his authority, his power, it was not a guarantee. He knew it was all temporal. So the three things that he had going for him, he didn't have security in. And he was looking for this eternal wealth. What's interesting is we don't ever know if this rich young ruler have ever heard Jesus before or after this encounter. We're not sure. But the message that Jesus was preaching was the kingdom of God is at hand and is eternal life. And this young ruler knew the message that Christ had been preaching. So whether he heard Jesus at other times or followers of Christ were proclaiming the same message, the message got to him. Somehow, some way, it got to him. And what that made me think about is when we witness to people, when we tell them, hey, this is how you obtain inherit life, hey, Jesus is the only way, we might not ever know that we had an impact on them. But they could be just like this rich young ruler, and they could be in their house and just very sorrowful and know and say, Lord, I'm seeking the truth. Lord, I know. And our job is just to preach it. We have no idea how this guy ended up getting to Jesus. But we as Christians have a job to get people to Jesus. And so don't get discouraged if you don't see a lot in your witnessing efforts. You never know. You really don't. What's an amazing thing is, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but God is, he's willing to save anybody. There's nobody too far gone. I was at work the other week, and we got a truck driver. This guy from Dallas, and he had a hoodie on. It was a red hoodie, and it said, you can ask about my past, but my charges were dropped by Jesus. And so I walked up to him, and I said, hey, I like your hoodie. And he's like, oh, are you a believer? I said, yes, sir. And he was all excited, you know, he was like, woohoo, and just like screaming and stuff in the truck. I got to asking him a little bit about his testimony, and he told me that he was facing 65 to life when he got saved. And now he gets a second chance. He gets the opportunity to be a truck driver and make a living and share Jesus with people. That's an amazing thing. And I bet people who knew him probably wrote him off, said this guy's never going to get saved. You really never know. You never know who the Lord is going to reach, and it's our job to stay faithful. But we see the burning question was, how do I inherit eternal life? This young man ran to Jesus, and I can just see him falling on his knees. Lord, how do I inherit this eternal life? How do I get this? He was passionate about it. He wanted to know. He was seeking the truth. The only thing that's guaranteed in our life is that we will face God in judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed for man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We will stand in judgment of God, and whether you choose to accept Jesus Christ or not, you will be judged on that. And I would highly encourage you to accept Jesus Christ now. Don't prolong it. Don't wait. But the next thing, so the young man is missing something. He's looking for something deeper. He wants more than this life, but he also has that question of, how do I get this? He's beginning to start seeking the truth. And the next thing we're going to see in verse number 19 is the response of Jesus. Jesus didn't answer in a way that I thought he would have. I would assume if he said, how do I inherit eternal life? He'll say, oh, well, do this and you do and do this and you don't. But notice that God wanted to teach this rich young ruler another lesson. There was something deeper he wanted to teach him. And you see here in verse number 19, I'll just read it again, but it says, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. And critics use this passage of scripture to say, oh, see, this is where Jesus denies his deity, where he doesn't accept the title of good from this rich young ruler, but that is not at all what Jesus is doing. Jesus is teaching this young man what goodness is. This rich young ruler, I believe, didn't understand that he was asking the question to God in the flesh. He didn't have the full understanding of who he was talking to. He acknowledged Christ probably as just a good man or a good teacher, but didn't understand that it was Jesus Christ. And so he was teaching him to say, no, there's no such thing as a good man. Only goodness comes from God. Oftentimes in the world, we'll use a relative term of, oh, that's a good person. And I understand the meaning behind that. And today's society, there are good people in our eyes. But here, Christ is showing that this is not about our eyes, it's not about us, it's the way God has to judge. And the way God judges goodness versus the way we judge goodness are two different things. And we understand that universally there are bad people. You know, I could come up here and name a few people and we say, I'll agree that, yeah, that's kind of a bad dude. We understand that, but the truth is that we're all kind of bad people in the eyes of God. We all need a Savior. And if you don't realize that you're a sinner, you don't realize you need a Savior. You have to understand that we can't measure up to God's goodness. The Word of God says that there is none righteous, no, not one. And we need to be careful that we don't become like this Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, same chapter. Look at verse number 9, if you will, with me. But it says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse number 10, Luke 18 says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Verse number 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as the publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You see that attitude he has as he was judging my goodness as how much better I am than my neighbor. I'm not as bad as that guy, so I'm not too bad. There's worse than me. But we have to understand God's judgment. We have to understand the way God looks at goodness. And you'll hear people say all the time, well, God's such a good, loving God. Why would he ever send anybody to hell? But the question that I would respond to them with is, I believe that God is a just God. And if God is a just God, how can he allow sin into heaven? Sin into heaven. It's not a matter of if he's a good, he is a good loving God, but he's also a just God. Right. And we have to understand that we go to his standard. We go to the judgment in front of God. Amen. The next thing we also see here is point number four. Point number four, this is the next three verses, but this is the need for repentance. The need for repentance. You see, if you'll read with me verses 20 through 23, it says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. I'll actually stop there real quick. So Jesus is going into the law with this rich young ruler. And if you remember when Paul is talking about the law, he says, schoolmaster, that points us to Christ. And so it's important to realize that we don't keep the law. The way we get to heaven, the way we get saved is not by keeping a law. It's not by rules or regulations, but it's important that we understand that we have transgressed against God. And that is what Jesus is showing this rich young ruler. He says, hey, you know the commandments. Meaning this rich young ruler probably was religious of some sort. He was in the synagogues. He knew the commandments. There was something about him that he knew. And the rich young ruler said, oh, ever since I was a boy, I've kept these. I have not messed up yet. And, you know, I wonder if Jesus at this time is probably thinking of, like, man, I wonder if he was at, like, the Sermon on the Mount. You know, when I was telling people that if you commit lust, you've already committed adultery, or if you hate or you're angry without a cause, you've committed murder. And when we realize it like that, we say, oh, yeah, we are guilty. But Jesus is probably thinking, man, this guy must have not been there for the Sermon on the Mount or heard the message. And so just imagine here with me real quick, this young ruler is talking to Jesus, and he said, no, I'm perfect. And he were to die in that instant and stand before God in judgment. There is no way in judgment of God that he could say, I lived a perfect life. And if we're honest, we say the same thing about our life. There's no way that you can stand before God and say you've lived a perfect life. And what I love about the gospel is that it's good news. Why does a sinner like myself who constantly drops the ball and who doesn't seem to ever do the right thing, how do I have a chance to go to heaven? And that's good news, is that we drop the ball continuously, that we are evil sinners. And the good news is that God still loves us and God still loves you and died on the cross for your sin so you can have a home in heaven. Is the law, is the schoolmaster that points us to Christ. But notice in verse 22, this rich young ruler, he says, oh no, I've never broken any of the commandments. I've been perfect my whole life, and I can just see the Lord being like, oh really? All right, let's go through the checklist. We're going to start with the very first commandment, all right? You know them all. We're going to go with the very first commandment, and you see here in verse number 22, he says, now when Jesus heard these things, heard that the ruler said that he's kept all the commandments, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. So this guy, you know, he's 100%. He hasn't missed yet. And then, so they're going through the list, and the first commandment, to not have any gods before me, or not to have other gods than God. So he says, all right, if that's the case, then give up your God and follow me. And the same thing is true in our life. When we get saved, there's sins in our life that we have to repent of. There's things that we acknowledge in our life that say, God, this is against you. It's maybe my lying. Maybe it's my stealing from my employee. Maybe it's doing whatever it is, whatever kind of sin that it could be. We have to confess that. We have to acknowledge that we have a sin. And the scripture says in John chapter 3, verse number 19, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And we see here that this young man had to turn from the sin that he loved. He loved his wealth. He didn't want to give it up, but God said, if you want to get eternal life, then you need to give up your sin. You need to repent of your sin. And same thing is true in our life. We have sins that we love. Maybe it's not wealth. I don't know what it is. But there's sins in our life that we have to give up. If we have to acknowledge that we're a sinner. But let's take this again a step further. As believers this morning, we ought to live a life in constant repentance. We ought to have a good fellowship with God. Right. Now, you can't lose your salvation. If you're truly saved, you've truly put your faith in Jesus Christ alone, and you follow it, you don't lose your salvation. You'll lose your fellowship. You'll lose your satisfying wealth that the scriptures talk about. But you don't lose your salvation. Right. And we're asking the Lord for that. We have security. But your sin will lead you very sorrowful. Verse number 23 says, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was rich. This rich young ruler was sorrowful because he wasn't willing to turn of his wicked ways. He wasn't willing to admit that he was a sinner and turn to Christ. But in our own life, when we allow sin in our lives, it's going to leave you very sorrowful. Now, sin does have pleasure for a season. I'm not going to lie and say sin's never fun. We're all sinners in here. We know sin is fun. We enjoy it until punishment comes, I realize that I sin against God, and it's really not fun at the end of the day. There's sin has pleasure, but it's for a season. And it will lead you very sorrowful. It's not a lifestyle that you want to embrace or you want to embark in. And young people, if you've had a clean testimony, keep it clean. That's all I can say. It's not, you hear all the time of like, man, I wish I had a better testimony. The best testimony is the cleanest testimony. Amen. So don't ever get discouraged if your testimony is boring because I got saved young and I've been in church my whole life. That's the best testimony you can have. I wish I can have that testimony. And so one thing I will say, though, is if you have dropped the ball, get back up. I was reflecting. I had a birthday recently, and I remember when I did all my partying before I was 21. But to the world standard, 21st birthday, go party, you know, have at it. And I remember my 21st birthday, I was actually in Bible school. And I thought that was so cool, just the way the Lord brought that on. And then this last birthday I just had, I was preparing a sermon. And it's praise the Lord. You know, you never know who it's going to be that the Lord's going to get and he's going to use. And I'm thankful for the Lord. But we see here that Christ is also demonstrating that this kingdom is worth everything. The kingdom of God is worth it all. It's worth giving up all of our possessions. It's worth giving up all of our desires to see the kingdom furthered. And unfortunately, this young ruler makes the worst transaction of all time. He exchanges the kingdom of God for his wealth. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Yeah. It's really sad that this young ruler, he seemed to be going in the right direction. You know, he realized, I have a void. He had the question. He heard Jesus' response, but he stopped before he actually got saved. And so you can come to church, and you can hear the truth, and you can be asking the questions, but until your head knowledge comes your heart knowledge and it becomes yours, you're still missing out. And unfortunately, unless this rich young ruler got saved, he's not in heaven. We see a change in the countenance, how this rich young ruler, at the start, he's joyous, and he runs up to Jesus, and he's talking to him, and we see how he leaves. He leaves very sorrowful. What about you today? If God asks you to give it all up, are you going to listen, or are we going to walk out of those doors with our head down, very sorrowful? Are we willing to give it all up for God? Are you willing to turn from your sin and accept Christ as your Savior? But then the beauty of it all, we see the fifth thing is the grace of God. And that's going to be in verse 24 through 27. It says, "And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, 'How hardly shall they have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.'" And God used this illustration because obviously the people around this time are very familiar with camels, and camels are big and they're disgusting and they're huge, and how is that going to fit through an eye of a needle? There's no way that's going to fit through the eye of a needle. It's not going to happen, right? There's no way. And even the people that were with Christ and heard this thing would respond the way we did. Well, then who's going to be able to get saved? Nobody's going to be able to get saved. And this is where the grace of God comes in. If you look at verse number 27, "And he said, 'The things which are impossible with men are possible with God.'"
Yeah. Amen.
That's an amazing thing, that no matter what, God can do it.
Right.
We understand here that it's not just about our riches, but it's about our good works or our good intentions. We're like that camel. Everything that we have, the best of us, is like that camel. It's not getting through the eye of the needle. It's just not going to happen. We know it's not going to happen. But that's the greatest definition of grace, is that God can get it through. He oversees our sin. He oversees it all to give us a home in heaven. One thing that's amazing is the devil knows your name but calls you by your sin. But God knows your sin and he calls you by your name.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference between understanding historically that Jesus Christ came to this earth a perfect man and died and rose again. Historically, that's true as well, but it's different when you realize that the reason he did it was for you. It's very real, it's very personal, is the reason he did that. You can fill in your name. We hear it all the time. You know, Jesus came to this earth and he died, but he did that for you. He did that because he loves you, and God has a plan for you. And it's an amazing thing just basking in the love of God. And so this morning, if we want to inherit our satisfying wealth, we need to follow these five things. We need to realize that there is more on this earth than what the earth has to offer. We need to begin seeking the truth. We need to realize that we fall short of the goodness of God. We must repent of our sin, and we have to remember what's impossible with man is possible with God.
Amen.
By his grace.
Right.
And I'm done. That's all I got this morning, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to look at your word, Lord, and to see how we do inherit this eternal wealth, God, how we can turn from this wicked way, Lord, and just have a home in heaven with you. God, I do thank you for your grace, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, and just pray, Lord, that you'll bless this baptism coming up, Lord, and that you'll just keep us safe as we come back tonight. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you don't mind, we're just going to keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed just for a little bit. I just want to do a little bit of an invitation. Maybe today you can strongly relate to the rich young ruler. You sense that you have this void in your life. You seem to have everything you could ever want on earth, but feel miles away from true satisfaction. Today is that time to give it all to Jesus. Or maybe you could be the one with the question of, how do I inherit eternal life? We saw plainly how that is done. It is by repenting of your faith and turning to Jesus Christ. Christian, maybe today your fellowship with the Lord is starting to diminish, and you've allowed sin in your life to give you that satisfaction that you so desperately desire. If that's the case, I would encourage you to get right. You can come to the altar. You guys can stay at your seats, however the Lord leads. But if the Lord's speaking, I just ask that you deal with it. And then, Pastor, you can come up now. Thank you.
Christ is your Savior, and there might be one particular thing that is keeping you from trusting Christ just like this.
that to the side and just trust me. So maybe that's the message for you. Maybe that's what God is speaking to your heart about. This is a great opportunity right now as the piano plays to come to the altar and talk to the Lord about it. You can certainly do that.